Tavares down the right wing, trying to barge to the front of the goal. He does! They score! They score! The Leafs have won the game! Nice jumping it in as Tavares one-handed in front. The Leafs are coming home, and they've won game 5 by a score of 2-1. Holy mackerel, what a play!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Leafs cast, or should I call it the Joseph Wall cast? Because we're back, baby!
We're back, we're still alive!
Be honest, did you think we were going to be here? Did you think we were going to be here, Rye?
It's a podcast full of believers. I think all three of us, we decided not to pod because we just wanted to keep the belief to ourselves after game 4. And we obviously all knew that we were going to be here. No, we were just like the rest of Leafs Nation. We were crumbled and broken and expecting the worst. And then Matthews isn't going to play and you expect the worst. And just like this team, you'd expect them to do. They do the unexpected and probably have one of their best playoff games that I can remember them playing for a while, at least the first two periods for sure.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, like, this is the team that, like, we knew was out there. Like, when things are working, like, we saw a team with energy, with tenacity, that was not afraid to mix it up. Like, they had that air of physicality with them, but also played hockey.
That was an unreal performance. I mean, we'll get into it more in detail, but Austin Matthews doesn't play tonight. The Leafs have a pretty good record historically of games that Austin Matthews doesn't play. And even though, like, my initial reaction when that news comes out is like, we're doomed, right? We're absolutely doomed. But then I thought more about it and I'm like, well, you know, the guys play well when Austin Matthews is there. And like, when the man isn't there, everybody has the opportunity to be the man. And it felt like you saw that out of the Leafs tonight, the extra effort that everybody's putting in. Everybody wanted to be the man. Matthew Nyes ends up being the man, but I don't know that we're going to count on Austin Matthews not playing any more games in the series, but like, I think that's a lot of what propelled them to a victory tonight.
You could definitely feel the like every man steps up in his absence, you know, like you could, and maybe that was even, it's hard to tell like what that was. You could see it top to bottom that the whole lineup stepped up. It might've just been because they were so embarrassed after that pathetic game 4. I don't think we really need to talk about game 4, even though we didn't pod after it. Like, everything that the world has been saying is probably the same things that we would have said. But you look at this game and like, if I were to pick one person, you'd say like, wow, like, where has that guy been the last 4 games? Mitch Marner, unbelievable game. Like, that top line of Marner, Domi, Bertuzzi, when they announced it, or not when they announced, but like when we saw them practicing with those lines in practice, I was thinking like, this is not an optimal usage. Like, why are you putting Domi on the same line as Marner? These are like two best playmakers and they have one guy to set up now, and it's Bertuzzi, who's not even like our best goal scorer that's left on the team. It should be Nylander on that line to get set up by Domi or something. Like, it didn't make sense to me, but I guess there's a reason why Keith gets paid to coach the Maple Leafs and I don't, even though maybe I could. But that line was really good.
Is that the most elite face-off man in the whole NHL, Max Domi, you're talking about there?
That's right. He never loses.
Even when Bertuzzi took that face off, he didn't even like try to win it. He just tried to get it wherever the puck was going, and he did get it. Yeah, the Leafs had a different strategy in the dot tonight. Yeah, that was a crazy decision to make. But then, you know, we go back to every man can be the man, and like you say, who's going to score on that line? And it was Mitch Marner who was just ripping it from all angles tonight. And I don't know. I'm not trying to bag on, you know, Mitch Marner or the Leafs in general right now, but like, yeah, where was that? Do some more of that, man, because that really generated some offense. And just, I don't know, that extra spark that the guys had tonight. I don't know that the Leafs won solely because the Leafs were just like altogether the better team all night. Boston was plenty sloppy. I haven't seen that stupid deserve to win-o-meter, but I wouldn't be surprised if Boston won that tonight. Tons of giveaways on both sides, and the Leafs just end up coming out ahead. I mean, it's a 2-1 victory here, right? Like, we squeaked through. That's all it took. That's all it took, because we survived a game without Austin Matthews, and now we head back to Toronto, where the Leafs have a chance to actually win a game at home.
Apparently that's an advantage, they tell me. Like, it wouldn't show, but no, I honestly, Steven, I'm glad you brought that up, that it, because it's easy to sit back in this game and say, wow, that Domi top line was cooking, and Tavares and Nice connect for the OT winner, and like defensively we're sound. Wall, we haven't talked about Joseph Wall yet, but like the Wall, he's so good. But you're right, that was Boston's worst game of the series. I think by far that was their worst game of the series.
You had two shots in the first period, right? Two shots. Yeah. Like,
and,
yeah.
And you saw Boston come alive in the third period. In overtime, they were flying. So it's a good thing we ended it when we did. But you can, what's, I guess, not so good about that is, like, it's not just the Maple Leafs have to do what they did again. They have to be better, because you could best be sure that Boston is not going to put a performance like that again in game five. Like, Boston will be better moving forwards. And, like, this was in a game where goaltending ended up being a wash and special teams ended up being a wash, which has not happened. And we still barely won. So it's still an uphill battle.
Just going back to Joseph Wall there for a second. I think, obviously, he had a stellar performance of only getting the one bad bounce goal past him. But I think that helps the team. Like, I think the team sees Joseph Wall, like, battling and being in it, and they want to win it for Joseph Wall.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that they gave up on Sammy in the passing, but there is something to be said about, like, a goalie coming in here. It sparks the team. And, like, this team looked different.
Joe Wall made some spectacular saves tonight, where Swayman's been doing a lot of that all series, and he did it a couple times tonight. Joe Wall was right there with him. Obviously, he gives up whatever it was. I think the second shot of the game or something like that, right, goes in. You know, not a great goal to give up. And then after that, just completely locks it down. And even though, right, Boston was sloppy, the Leafs don't win tonight, I think, if Samsonov is in the net. I just don't think that's the case. You know, Joe Wall has this in him. Like, I have a ton of faith in him going into the next game. We know he's going to be the starter. Like, it wasn't that long ago Joe Wall was statistically, like, the best goalie in the league to start the season, right? He was at, like, a 930-something save percentage, and he was the dude. And he was doing just like he did tonight all at the beginning of the season. He didn't get the nod to start the series. Sounds like that was probably the wrong call.
Well, you can't forget why. Well, no, but you can't forget why he didn't get the nod. Like, when he was out for a long time with that high ankle sprain, and when he came back, he was not the same Joseph Wall. Like, you're right, Steven. For the beginning of that season, he was fantastic, and he was pushing Samsonov, like, especially because Samsonov was at the beginning of the season. But, like, he was the only thing keeping our season alive until he got injured. And when he came back, he wasn't the same. And that's right when Samsonov started to go on his run. And I think if they started with Wall, that would have been a mistake. You could argue that they waited one game too long to make the switch to Joseph Wall, because clearly Samsonov hasn't been having it this playoffs. But you can't have a single complaint about Joseph Wall in this game. You're right, Steven. Like, time and time again, huge saves to keep the Leafs in it.
One thing that was also unique about this game that I'm sure factored into quite a bit, but the refs let quite a bit go. Like, as far as penalties go, like, not a lot of power plays, not a lot of penalty kills, which helps us because we have horrible things of both. And that, as good as we look for the rest of the game, power play still, like, I almost threw up even just watching it. It was disgusting.
Well, I saw a tweet, you know, because I obviously got to scroll right after the game wins just to see all the happy comments. But I did see, would you rather watch or go to jail for 1 year or watch the Leafs power play on loop for 24 hours straight? Tim, choose.
It's comparable.
Oh, where is the jail? Is it in Boston or is it?
Okay, Ryan, what about you?
I'd watch the Leafs, I guess, but that's close. I don't know. All I know is that, like, Tim, you're right. There were fewer penalties, which definitely benefited us this game for how the special teams have gone. I wouldn't say that, like, it was a poorly officiated game. There was a lot that they let go, but, like, it felt like that's how much is usually let go in a playoff game. the things that they were calling were penalties, and the things that they let go were just stuff that usually gets let go. It's just because we've become accustomed to the refs calling those ticky-tack plays right when it's at the worst time that it feels like there's a lot let go. It was just a normal game. I would say the refs were almost a non-story in this game, which was kind of refreshing, to be honest. But, like, you bring up a good point, though, Tim. We still have not scored on the power play. I think we had two chances this game, maybe three. I think it was two. It didn't score on either of them. That second one, we looked really good, so at least we're making some progress. But, like, looking ahead to game six, which is, once again, the do-or-die game, still can't score on the power play, still can't generate much offense in general. I don't think we could count on Wall to have that kind of performance, you know, the next two games in a row as well. So offense is still, probably a major issue for the Maple Leafs to figure out here in the next game and game after that, hopefully.
So we've now played five games, and we've scored nine goals. Is that math correct? I think we don't win this series if Joe Wall isn't exactly as good as he is tonight. I don't know if that's going to get fixed against Boston unless Swayman has an off night, which if there was one, it was tonight. Like, they actually got two of them past him.
Well, it'll be so interesting. Like, I personally think they go back to Allmark next game. Like, they are alternating for the past, like, six months.
But, Tim, like, I don't know the updated stat after the overtime goal, so I'm sure it went down. But, like, mid-game, they I remember them saying over the broadcast, oh, Jeremy Swayman is now up to, like, a 957 save percentage. Like, that's otherworldly. That's like, you're never going to lose a game ever if your goaltender has that kind of save percentage. So how could you argue to take the guy out? He's so good. They lost because they only scored one goal. They didn't lose. It's like Allmark in game two. Like, they didn't lose because their goaltender.
If you have Swayman in for game six and you lose again, do you put Allmark in for game seven?
I mean, that's what they did last year. They had Allmark for the whole series until game seven, and then they put Swayman in.
Oh, music to my ears.
This is all the dumb stuff when I was reading, you know, like Leafs, Boston, you know, like preview and stuff. And it's like, well, they got two goalies. Could there be drama? Like, I guess this is it. Does this mean Boston's going to lose? I don't know.
I mean, one other thing about Boston, this is now the fifth game in a row where they have a chance to eliminate an opponent. And they failed to do so. They lost in game seven against Carolina. Lost three games in a row to Florida when they were up 3-1, and now they've lost against us. Boston has a choking problem. It's music to my ears.
I love it.
But
I think that definitely is a factor, though. Like, I mean, you could see it early in this game. Like, that first period was just ridiculous. It was all Maple Leafs, and Boston was just like being sloppy plays, turning the puck over. Their forecheck wasn't there. Our forecheck somehow was there. Like, we had such an easier job forechecking and getting and retrieving the puck this game than other games. Like, they were off, and you have to think that's in the back of their mind, that heartbreak they had against Florida last year, where they were like setting records how good they were in the regular season, out in the first round, blowing the 3-1 series lead. And, like, you know, we as Leaf fans understand that. Like, that's pressure, right? And, like, not everyone can deal with that. Boston usually doesn't have to deal with that. Like, I don't think they have had to deal with that in all the time that they've been good. Like, they've never been that choking team. And now, all of a sudden, it's in the back of their head. Every mentioned on in the intermission, like, every good period the Leafs have is just going to, like, lean more into that. And now that the Leafs won, it's very interesting to see what happens in game six, to see if the Leafs can kind of
score. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but, you know, yeah, Leafs are obviously the constant butt of every joke, right? But that is that's a trend for Boston, and it's not like a team of the past, right? That's this team right now. That's the core that's there right now dealing with this. So I'm pumped for the next game, but we cannot ignore the fact that the Leafs have scored nine goals in five playoff games. Something needs to happen. What do you guys think needs to happen in this next game to fix that? What did you see that was working tonight? Because even though the Leafs only got two goals, I thought this was the best they had looked offensively all series. What the heck are we going to do?
I think it comes down to the puck battles. Like, the Leafs were, I think you had to, I mean, it sounds basic and rudimentary, But like when you dump the puck in, you have to skate in after it, and you have to be the one to come away from the puck. Like those first four games, so often it would just a turnover after turnover after turnover. Like you need to have the puck, you need to control it, start the cycle, anything. Like you're not getting easy ones past Swayman. So it comes down to winning puck battles.
A funny Steve Dangle quote, this team doesn't do dump and chase, they just do dump and wipe. And that's what they did for four games, Tim. You're right. I think I'm similar to Tim, except I'm going to go back to the other end of the ice, and I'm going to say it's Boston was so good at dominating their forecheck in those first four games, yeah, where they would dump the puck in, they'd pressure our defense, and they would either make a poor pass or just fling it up the boards, and it'd be right to the Boston winger, and then before you know it, it's in our end for minutes that they're cycling it around before they finally score or get a good scoring chance or something. But that's just like, if your defense and your forwards, like as a whole, your team can't take the puck which has been dumped in, retrieve it, and exit with possession, then it's so hard to generate offense. Like I there was that one rush that we had with Domi and Bertuzzi on a 2-on-1. Was that the first rush chance that we've had this entire series? Like it felt so weird watching it. And it's just, it never happens because Boston just like stands you up at the line and they force you to dump and chase. And we've been so bad at dump and chase. But we come up with possession and all of a sudden we have numbers and it's a 3-on-2. All of a sudden you can gain the zone and then you're in their zone. You don't even have to go to what your point was, Tim, with winning a puck battle in the corner. You just have the zone and you can make some plays. Mitch Marner, Ty Doby, that's funny. Max Doby, like these guys are wizards out there with the puck. And I just think it all starts in our end. And we were able to, at least for the first two periods for sure, we were able to outmaneuver Boston's forecheck, which was massive.
At that point, well, to Ryan's point though, I felt like a difference of why it was working a lot more, the zone exits for the Leafs, is because they were putting it a lot more on the forwards than the defensemen. I feel like there's been a lot made this series that the Leafs just don't have enough puck-moving defensemen or a defenseman that can really generate any offense. I'm really not going to complain about it because we all remember what the Leafs defense was like from 2012 to 2019 or whatever. So, like, we're going to take what we've got right now. But to that point, like, that's not what our defensemen are there to do, right? So why are we asking him to do that? Willie, and having Willie back's a big difference, right? He's electric at that. He can get the puck out of the zone. But it just felt like the guys almost didn't even look at it as an option. Like, all right, you know, Simone Benoit is not going to have to get the puck out of our zone. We're not giving it to a defenseman. And they got to do that again. The forward's got to be better than the guy forechecking him. Don't put this on our defenseman.
I think part of it is also just like, surely Swayman can't keep up a 957 save percentage for the rest of the series. Maybe he can. I don't know. We've been goalied before, but like eventually some pucks are getting through. Like that Tavares chance in overtime where he kind of pokes the puck free, and or even the McCabe goal. Like, have we not taken any shots from the point? That just goes clean. It's not like a good tip or like we had two guys screening Swayman. Like, sometimes pucks just go in, and like it happened all the time against us with Samsonov with some like savable shots. But like at some point, you just kind of got to stay patient, do what works. This game, we did a lot of stuff that works, and the pucks are just going to go in. You just kind of got to stick with
it. I was going to say one thing, not necessarily offense dependent, but is puck possession dependent, is a lot more back checking in the forwards tonight than previous games. There was a couple plays, Marner coming back, breakup plays, Nye's coming back. Do love to see that because that is so important, right? Like Boston, they love to cheat. They love to have extra guys up top. Yeah. And it's like by getting back, you just like eliminate the options, put a little pressure on them, and that can be the difference.
Yeah, there was a few Boston rushes that we just stopped. There's just like no chance happened because Kampf is storming back and he breaks it up, or Riley, who is pinching deep, ends up storming back and he stops it. Like, and that's kind of, that's a large difference. Like, I feel like Boston, there was like two or three times where we got hemmed in our own end, but other than those shifts, there wasn't too much cycle chances for Boston in this
game. I think Marner was the biggest difference in that, though. His defensive play tonight was just better than it's been the rest of the series. I don't know how else to He just needs to do that again. Whatever, like, it doesn't make sense why he hadn't the whole series, that he's that kind of player. But that was the difference.
Well, so the biggest difference with Marner, though, is that every other game this series, he's been on a line with Tavares and Knies, who have been, like, they've been fine. It's not their fault. But that line has gotten the David Pastrnak matchup. And to their credit, David Pastrnak has not been forced in this game that or in this series, rather, that he should be. So they're doing a good job shutting him down. But that you play a lot more defense when you have the toughest matchup. You're going to start a lot more on your own end. You're going to not have the puck nearly as much. And this game, he didn't. He moved up to that top line with Bertuzzi and Domi. And Nylander took a spot on that defensive line, which feels weird that Nylander and Tavares are your and Knies are your shutdown guys for David Pastrnak. But they were still able to do the job, and Pastrnak didn't get on the board, although he had his chances. And Marner was just kind of able to dance. And I don't know. It makes you question, like, if Matthews comes back next game, which I don't even have no idea whether he's coming back next game. But if he does, I have no idea what to do with the lines. I love that top line of Marner, Domi, Bertuzzi. But I also love Matthews with Domi and Bertuzzi. But I also love Matthews with Marner. It's just a wealth of
just take out Ryan Reeves, insert Austin Matthews with David Kampf, and you're good to go.
Sheesh.
On the subject of Austin Matthews, though, what are your guys' thoughts? Do you think it is an illness? Do you think it's like an injury and they're just being coy? I went back and watched the Detroit highlights. I'm not sure if you recall, but like Matthews got tangled up with his own player right on the boards. It doesn't look good. He hit his head against it.
That play. I remember that. I remember thinking thinking he was going to be hurt on that, and then he kind of just continues the game, and it's whatever.
And it'd be fine, but it's like, well, that was like 2 weeks ago.
I don't think it's that, Tim, because, like, here's the thing. He was so good in game two. Yeah. Like, he's so good. It couldn't have been something before that. And even, like, do you remember game 82, him trying to get his 80th goal or 70th goal? Like, he was fly. I don't think it was that. The team is going with it's an illness. It could be. Like, he looks lethargic.
Yeah, he does.
When he was out there at the end of game four. So, like, it could just be that. I've never heard of a player missing an elimination game in the playoffs because of illness, though. Like, it's weird. And they've already been very coy with the Nylander thing, with him getting scratched. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's also something there that might be holding him out. But, like, I don't know. It's just hockey players are built different. They'll play through, like, a missing appendix or something. Like, they'll just go for it. And I picked the wrong thing there. No one needs an appendix. But they'll just play through things. Like, you saw, Steven, you mentioned it. Zach Hyman was playing with, like, what, a torn ACL for a couple games one of the years that he was with us. Like, these hockey players just... they play through death. Like, why can't Austin Matthews be out there? So I don't think there's really any need to dissect it because really have no idea. It will be interesting to know.
Elliot Friedman obviously posts, you know, that like what the Leafs are saying is that it's an illness, right? But he just said that he's hearing that it might be something in addition to that that's what's holding him out, and that's what they're not telling us. So to what Tim's saying, possibly something like an injury, because you're right, the illness thing, and like pulled out of the game by team doctors, right, is why he didn't continue in game three. Four. It's just so weird, you know. If it is just an illness, like, sure, I'm disappointed. I don't see how we're a better team, even if Austin Matthews is at 80%, we're a better team without him.
Give the man some orange juice.
We 100%. I've had that many times. You're sick, you just drink a whole big thing of the orange juice, and then you feel fine for like 10 hours, and then you go back to feeling like crap. But yeah, that's what you do. It's been a while since I've had to do it, but so I'm just pointing out that as a fact, right? Like Elliot Friedman seems to believe that it might be something else going on, but like a concussion, I don't know about that, because when you say what looks wrong with him, it's that he looks gassed. He looks, like he can't keep going. So what is that? I don't know. We're three guys that don't even really go to the doctor. So what do we know about what might be wrong with him?
It's just such a weird, like, there's no, the William Nylander thing was weird, and this Austin Matthews thing is weird, and it's just weird. And it's all compounded because Brad's all like, we can't give any updates ever. It's like, all you're doing is frustrating the fans. You think Boston cares? They're giving updates. Like, they're not changing their game plan here. Like, I don't know.
It's just so frustrating that, like, these guys play 80 games in the regular season.
Yeah.
And then it's like, guys, you're doing it wrong. You, what, Lamar Stone, you injured in February, back in healthy in April.
Yeah. At least we're not on our third string goaltender yet. So we got one up on Vancouver. And,
you know, the Leafs had an extra day off. Like, I'm just saying, it feels like if the game was on Monday, no chance Matthews plays. The game's today, it felt like there was maybe a 50% chance he plays. So you get two more days, and what? Are you counting on playing anymore in the series? Or
I just know that, like, for the playoffs, do or die game, like, lose and you're done. Anything short of you're missing an arm and they're going to be out there playing hockey. So if he can't play today, they decided Austin Matthews is not fit to play. I wouldn't say I'm optimistic that 2 days from now it's going to be like, yeah, Matthews good. And if he is, then he's going to be playing at like we saw him in game four, just like basically unable to skate. So like, no, I wouldn't say that I'm counting on it or I'm expecting it. If anything, I'd say I'm expecting him not to play. And wow, what a bonus it would be if 2 days after he can't play, it's like,
I mean, I'm done making any predictions. I thought Nylander was going to play in game two. And I mean, I don't care. Whoever shows up for game six, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Listen, with Joseph Wall in net, we will just win. So it's all good.
So another aspect of the game tonight, obviously there were less penalties, still plenty of little dust ups and guys getting mixed up, but it was a different cast of characters. I can count probably four times tonight where the Jake McCabe group was getting into it, and Jake McCabe's just standing there, just not even moving, right? And even though Brad Marchand was very much a part of the script tonight, he has two penalties, he's screaming at the refs, da-da-da-da-da, like,
what a
Bertuzzi,
baby.
Bertuzzi and Domi were not involved in any of that. And
which is good, that's what you need to do.
Offensively, like, trying to impact the game and not mixing it up with Brad Marchand, so that needs to continue for the next one.
Well, for the first time this series, Brad Marchand took a penalty. Like, that is a sin on the league. But I'm just saying, like, there's no way that you could look at this and say, wow, Brad Marchand, what an honorable, clean player for having never committed a fraction of the past four games. No, it's an embarrassment, and finally he got one. And, man, it would have been nice to score while he was in the box. But hopefully it's like it. Well, it's just like, I would imagine that these refs talk to each other, that they kind of keep tabs on the series, and like, hopefully this is them, like, for game six, and if we get there game seven, where the refs recognize, yes, he's like, he's still a rat. He's been one for 16 years. Nothing's changed. And if he starts pulling shenanigans like he was this game, then like, get him in the box. Like, that was ridiculous that Tussle had with Holmberg, where he basically threw him to the ground and then dove after and managed to get a 4-on-4 out of it. It's just embarrassing.
It was so funny, though, seeing his diving instinct kick in when the linesman bumped him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that he's not on this list. I know, like Keith said, like, he's one of the best in the game at, you know, getting these calls and stuff like that. But, like, you see him, like, screaming at the refs and dropping F-bombs and all the guys on the Bruins are to these refs. And how are these guys taking any of them seriously when, you know, we can't seem to get a call for anything? You know, our guys get blacklisted all the time and stuff. Like, it was nice to see him.
Well, Boston's a small market team, Steven, so they don't get the same attention.
Probably my favorite moment of the night. Right. Another little dust up towards the end of the second period, and Pasternak's getting into it with, I think, Riley, and then the man of the evening, Matthew Nyes, gets up in his face. You guys saw this, right? And he's like, let's go right now.
Absolutely.
And Pasternak's not having it, and he's like, that's what I thought. Like, that's what. And I'm like, is this guy not 19 years old? and he's out here in the playoffs the big man. Because he knew, I think he knew it was the man. That's when he knew he was the man that night. He went to the dressing room and he said, I am the man. And he went to JT. He took the C off of his jersey and stuck it on his chest.
He said, you know, last year I helped you out and got you that OT winner against Tampa. Now it's your turn to return the favor. Watch for me.
Well, it was a really big night for Matthew Nyes because you know whose spot he's taking right now? It's Bobby McMahon. And none of us would have predicted when the season started that we would be longing for some Bobby McMahon offense in these playoffs. And it's a shame that he's not here because that line, that second line of him, Tavares, like they had some real chem going. And he hasn't been able to play yet in this series. But Nyes comes through and like it's so hard to get offense. Marner couldn't get a goal. Nylander couldn't get a goal. Tavares couldn't get a goal, but it's Matthew Nyes who comes forward and gets one. And when you
maybe that last goal, like Tavares did a lot of work. Let's not sell him short there. Like,
I'm not saying those players. I was praising Marner earlier. I think he was our best player tonight. I'm not saying that they were bad players. I'm just saying that you can't just rely exclusively on the core four or the big three, whatever you want to call them, to get the goals. Like, it's one thing to generate the offense, but someone's got to put it in the back of the net. And when you look past those, you know, $10 million players, the players that you expect to get goals is like a Bobby McMahon or a Nick Robertson or a Matthew Nyes, Bertuzzi, Domi. Like, those are the guys that if, like, you need to get at least one or two goals from those guys in your game to have a chance. And they did. Matthew Nyes puts home in the overtime winner. And we all love listening to Joe Bowen call it over and over again on repeat. Tim, you better have that Joe Bowen snip for the intro.
Oh, it's going to be. It's in there.
I want it bad.
Matthew Nyes is that man. I love it. He is the man.
All right. Well, Thursday, Leafs going to be back. We need to do all this again.
Well, it's a huge. It's listen. We didn't do a pod after game four, but I think all of us would have said, like, yeah, maybe they'll win game five. But the odds that they win the rest of the series are slim to none. And maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid right now, but I'm feeling it. Like, I'm feeling it right now. The boys were buzzing tonight. Boston looked very human, very bleedy-like. So I could just see them, like, storming out in game six or either that or maybe squeaking by again. And he gets to game seven. It's anyone's game. Anything can happen in a one-game series. So it's exciting times for sure.
If the Leafs have the better goalie, they have a chance. And tonight they had the better goalie. Joe Wall needs to be the better goalie on Thursday. And then we'll figure out Saturday from there. So I'm pumped. My mustache stays a couple more days. Ryan looks like he never shaved. And he did. Amazing.
Beard's looking in full great. Form. All right.
Ryan's always. Like, Steven's talking about our mustaches. End the pod. Fine. All right.
No mustache talk. That's a regular season bit. We're in the playoffs here.
See you Thursday.
See you Thursday.